You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey everybody, we're back again for our continuation in 1 Peter 3. We're going to be starting in verse 13 today. We're going to be talking, probably in the next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about suffering for God. And when you read through the Bible like this, you're going to see themes, and suffering is a major theme that God wants us to know about. So we're going to go and start in verse 13 through 22. And but first, we're going to have Angela pray for us.
Hey, everyone. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to come together and continue on in our study of your word. Lord, we just thank you for this book of 1 Peter and all of the truths that are contained herein that we can apply to our lives as we live out our Christian walk with you. And Lord, I just pray for everyone who will hear our message that you would speak whatever it is that you have that you want to portray, Lord, that you would speak that message through us today. I pray that you would give us all ears to hear and hearts and minds to understand the message. And Lord, help us to understand suffering. Help us to understand that it's a biblical concept, that Lord, if our Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered on his time on this earth, Lord, then we are, you know, we're no better than him. So we are likely to suffer as well. But Lord, we know that you are with us and that there's nothing that we can't endure as long as we abide in you. So help us to just do that, to stay and abide and remain in you, that we may bear much fruit, whether we are going through hard times or going through good times. Lord, we love you and we want you to get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and read the text as we always do. Starting in verse 13, says, "Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then, if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority."
Man, that's so good. That is so much stuff, and hopefully we can get all of it, because it's always, when you look at portions over this kind of text, it's, we could talk days on it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we'll go ahead and start from the beginning where in verse 13, it says, "Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good?" I think every Christian, that's something that I'm really convicted on, is doing good. You know, having that mindset when we get up in the mornings to go out and do good.
Yeah.
Because we should be looking to
for
do
opportunities,
good.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't just be something that just, you know, that you're going to go plan to go do something. It should be a daily thing, you know, that when you get up in the mornings, your head should be on a swivel looking for someone to do good to, you know, to go and love on somebody, you know, regardless if you know them or if you don't know them, you know.
Well, and you likely have already prayed to the Lord for opportunities, you know, that you would run into people where you can do good. You can have the good works that He has already prepared for you to walk in, that you'll have those opportunities throughout your day. So exactly, we should be looking for them. We should be prepared.
We should be prepared. And when you look in context of what it means to do something good in this day and time, versus back in those days, Jesus was, you know, whenever He showed Peter and all them what doing good was, what was it? What was the main purpose of Jesus' coming? To build the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not called to just go do a good deed and not share Jesus.
Right.
The social gospel is a horrible thing that American Christianity has introduced as a form of Christianity. It's not biblical.
A complete gospel.
No, it's not a complete gospel. It's a form of Christianity, but it's not biblical Christianity.
Yeah.
Because we are called to do good things.
Right.
But you can't, it's like when people have, you know, giveaways like shoes or backpacks or whatever it might be, and you're giving out stuff or even a food pantry.
Food, yeah.
If you're giving that stuff out to the poor, great. But you know who else can do that? Atheists can do that.
Right.
You remember the time whenever I was in our downtown city, that it's a big city next to us. I would go to the downtown area where a lot of homeless was at.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go around and just talk to the homeless. I would share. I'd give away Bibles. And I saw a crowd of people. And I'm like, oh, this is probably a church or something over there giving out, you know, food. And I go over there, and it was, you know, several people. And I was asking, you know, who they were or whatever. And they were a group that were actually an atheist group, mm-hmm. giving out food and clothes. And so, and they were straight up. I tried to share the gospel with them. They refused to listen. I tried to give them a Bible, and they refused to take the Bible. So you can do good deeds and be an atheist or be a Buddhist, mm-hmm. or whoever. But when you do something good like that, you always got to point it back to the one that is the author of good.
Right.
You know,
and we also, two examples just came to my mind when you said that as well, that we were a part of a church one time who did the shoe giveaway,
yeah.
and there was no gospel proclaimed. It was all just about meeting the tangible needs of the shoes. And there were so many missed opportunities to actually share the gospel and mm-hmm. the good news and point people to Christ. That was one. Two, we know people personally. I can think of two very close, you know, intimate people in our lives who have gone through food banks and were never given the gospel,
right.
at churches.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, to me, that's just such a missed opportunity, because the Bible even tells us that, you know, we don't just meet the physical need. I mean, we are called first and foremost to meet people's spiritual need. We are called to give the message of everlasting life, not just temporary, to fulfill temporary needs that
right.
they have.
And, you know, and one more thing that popped in my mind is that I actually asked one of the larger churches in our area that give out food. I asked them if they give the gospel, and they say no, that they can't, because where they get their food from is from a food bank in a city next to ours. And that food bank is run by Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they can't give the gospel because that would, you know, they said they can't do that. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that?
Well,
and they said we would lose where we get our food from. I'm like, I'm thinking, as many people that's in this church, everybody could give 5 cans of food,
mm-hmm.
and you would have a full pantry.
Right.
And you could give the gospel or whatever. But I mean, that should never determine the gospel.
Dictate.
You know,
right. Well,
so,
I also think of like 501c3, that is a governmental distinction that's placed as a tax-free classification,
right.
I guess I would say, on these charity organizations. So churches fall under that, you know, different kinds of ministry type organizations. And so then you're bound to do what, if it's the government that's over you, so you are bound to those government organizational rules. What if when things start getting worse and worse, as we know that they're going to, and they're trying to shut down Christianity, even on a larger scale, even here in America, as we are seeing it happen in Canada and Australia and all kinds of other countries, mm-hmm. where their speech is being censored, their right to practice their faith, all of these things. Are we going to compromise because we are under a organization that's part of our government? Are we going to be compromised?
Oh, absolutely.
Or are we going to stand firm?
You're going to see. You already see churches right now making sure that you have a COVID pass before mm-hmm. you can attend their services.
Right.
And if you don't, they have special seating for you.
Yeah.
And all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, it's already being affected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not saying every church is like that. But, I mean, you see a lot of these larger churches where the pastors have completely bought in mm-hmm. to a lie.
Right.
You know, so.
Back to what we talked about on either it was our last podcast or the one before that about obeying the government. When
right.
it goes against God, we are not to be compromised, you know, and have the fear of or obedience to man. But our obedience and our fear of it should always be God.
See, what's the problem, you know, that I see a lot of is American understanding of things.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible is not an American book.
Right.
I've said that several times in different podcasts and different things that whenever I talk to other people and minister to people, you know, we have to realize we cannot put an American understanding on Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. There's whole ministries dedicated to
whole denominations,
to red, white, and blue, that, you know, Jesus is wrapped in an American flag and he's not.
Yeah.
You know, but see, saying those things could get us, you know, have a lot of suffering, because mm-hmm. that's a truth. But there's so many people that have been brought up in a church that, you know, that they basically, it's a Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
You know, they're so patriotic.
That's huge right now. Yeah.
They're so patriotic. They forget that Jesus is from the Middle East. You know, he's not from America.
Right.
You know, he didn't grow up. He didn't grow up in Texas or wherever, you know,
yeah.
he or in the Midwest or where. No, he grew up in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important for us to have that understanding that this is a Jewish book
mm-hmm.
by nature.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that hate Jews right now.
Serve a Jewish Messiah.
We serve a Jewish Messiah, you know. Verse 14 says, "But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats." That is a very important portion of Scripture for us today. What is doing right? Doing right is standing on God's word.
That's right.
We don't stand on what man says. We do what's right. So if you're doing that and someone that claims to be Christian is taking you and trying to bring you out to the woodshed because, you know, you've done something wrong that's against that tradition, we see a lot of that today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stand on biblical understanding and the concept that Jesus put forth, there's going to be backlash.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be censored. You're likely going to be banned. We're coming into a day and time where you can't. Free speech is only if you agree with the
main narrative.
The mainstream, whatever is being pushed by the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, if you're being censored, you're being banned, you're being kicked off of platforms and all of these different things, you likely are doing something right, because you're going against the grain and you're standing for what's biblical truth.
Yes.
And we've said this so many times that if you're not suffering or being persecuted in some way, and that's just a little bit of it, then what are you doing?
Right.
Are you doing anything for your faith? Are you, is it?
Well, your average folk today that go to church, they don't understand what Christian suffering is, because they believe being Christian is, your only understanding of being Christian is showing up to church. And that's a sad thing. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't think of it that way. Because if you're not being persecuted in some way, if you're not standing on truth, and you know, I'm just saying, that is a very dangerous place to allow yourself to be, because when things do get bad, what are you going to stand on? Or if you haven't been standing before that, are you really going to stand in the middle of tribulation when it's happening? And that's something that each person has to deal with. And sadly, most pastors have not prepared their congregations for that. They have prepared them to be raptured out of here, but they have not prepared them to stand firm.
Yeah.
So when we look at, he says in verse 15, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. We must always be ready. And to be ready is just to stay studied up, to stay prayer, just stay in prayer. Mm-hmm. And if we're staying in prayer, and we're staying in the Word of God, when God presents that opportunity for you, then guess what? You're going to be ready to give your Christian hope. What's the hope? The hope in Christ.
Right. And that first sentence said, instead of worrying or being afraid, you worship Christ as Lord of your life. And I know we've gone into that before, what worship is. It is honoring Him in every aspect of your life. It's having a relationship with Him, abiding in Him, staying connected to Him daily, moment by moment. So it's not, our worship is not just an outward act that we do at a certain time. It's all that we do. It's our lifestyle unto the Lord at all times.
We should be a living sacrifice. That's what Romans 8 tells us. We should be a living sacrifice. So that means that worship comes in many forms. Singing is one form, and that's the most common thing that we see. But most, you know, reading your Bible, prayer time, mm-hmm. serving is all forms of worship. When you serve somebody in the name of Jesus, you're literally worshiping mm-hmm. the Lord, and you're being His hands and feet.
That's right. Using the gifts that He's given you, and the talent and the abilities, you know, using the personality that He has developed in you through the fruit of the Spirit.
And everybody has a gift. We all have the basic gift of sharing our faith, being a witness for Jesus. That is everybody's given that gift.
Yeah.
And then you expand from there on other gifts that you can use for the glory of God.
Yeah, and He tells us that when someone asks us about our hope as a believer, that we are to explain it in a gentle and respectful way and keep our consciences clear. And then if people speak against us, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life we live because we belong to Christ. It reminds me of Matthew 5:16 that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father mm-hmm. who is in heaven. So in all things that we do, it's to bring honor to His name.
Yeah, our testimony is so important. How we live in front of people, because when we actually are, it's the phrase I think you said on your little coffee time with you. You know, we need to put the money where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. Is basically, you know, we need to walk the walk. You know, if we're out there saying this, we need to walk that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I'm telling somebody about the Lord, I need to be walking in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, so it's so different than whenever we just say that I'm Christian. You know, people want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, people want to see how you live.
That's right.
You know, and so especially people that know you intimately. If someone mm-hmm. knows you from behind the scenes, they're going to know how you live.
Yep.
And so testimony is so important. Our testimony in Christ. It says this, you know, in verse 17, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. We need to always, this is where hypocrisy is so, when if someone is doing something wrong and they go to prison for it, I ministered to a lot of men that that have been in prison or have gone to prison, and you cannot play the card of that because you did something wrong, and then you want to play, you know, that you're holy on top of it too. You know, people that were pastors that have gone to prison over certain things. If we went to prison because we were sharing our faith or doing something good, that is what he's speaking of, mm-hmm. not doing something bad
and getting caught, and then
you tell everybody that you're a Christian. What's going to happen is that you're going to rub Jesus's face in that sin, and that's a really bad thing to do, because that's, again, it goes right back to your testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, so Christ suffered for our sins once and for all time. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
he never Jesus. Sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised alive in the spirit. And that is a picture, perfect picture of what happened on the cross. He was raised again 3 days later. And then we celebrate with that, right? We have that same celebration, because if you're in Christ, you celebrate with Jesus. He goes to the right hand of the Father. We get the Holy Spirit and continue on his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you know, whenever he comes back, if the Lord takes you, you will be in the presence of Jesus at that point. But right now, we have the Holy Spirit, and we get to celebrate that resurrection, because we were raised with him if you're in Christ.
Amen. And he's actually, Jesus says that we are blessed when we suffer the same, you know, however he suffered, that we have a reward that waits for us in heaven. So that's awesome.
Yes. It's so good. And, you know, the whole point of the suffering aspect is to look like Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus suffered, most people think, you know, I don't want to suffer. If you're in Christ, you're going to suffer because you're supposed to look like him. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to walk like him. We're supposed to talk like him. And when we
fail. And Jesus didn't want to suffer either. I mean, if you think of
right.
it, you know, he knew that he had this purpose, this cup of suffering that he was going to have to drink. But he asked the Father to please, if there was any other way, don't make me take this cup of suffering, you
right.
know? So, I mean, it's
not pleasant.
Right. It's natural to not want to suffer and to want to, Lord, is there any other way? But sometimes the purpose and the plan of God has to be fulfilled through the suffering.
And that's why we get out of ourselves.
That's right.
As much as we can. That's what, you know, we're trying to the sanctification process is dying to self, pruning. It's
right.
a pruning process.
And
it's very hard. It's nothing easy about a Christian life.
No.
When people say the Christian life is easy, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It is actually more difficult to walk truly biblically than to walk in my sins.
Oh, yeah.
Because in my sins, I just that was just something that come natural,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted it.
Right.
When I get saved, my flesh still wants that old man, but that old man has been put down.
Right, and you're constantly, the flesh is constantly battling against the spirit and vice versa. So it's a battle.
So we're the next portion is very, to me, this is a very, both are controversial when you're talking about, you can have debates on it, but where Jesus preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. We might come back at some point and do a deep study on that, because it's a really good study, what we believe it says. And also he talks about a picture of baptism with and the water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience, is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is another important. I believe it's very important. Our view on baptism is right in the middle of where you would see, like, maybe way the Baptists view it, and maybe a lot of charismatic view it. I don't believe baptism saves you, but I believe it's necessary because Jesus said it was. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that, you know, that water itself is a magical water where it actually, but I believe that it is a ordinance that Jesus says for us to do, just like the Lord's mm-hmm. Supper. Mm-hmm. And so I believe baptism is so important. And if you haven't been baptized, you should be baptized because Jesus, he commanded that mm-hmm. for us to be baptized.
Yeah.
You know?
The believer's baptism.
The believer's baptism.
We want to make sure it wasn't that you were christened as the Catholics
right.
are at birth or whatever. It's the believer's baptism. So once you have put your faith in Christ, then you have made that public profession of faith.
And it's very important. I think a lot of times you have one side that says, yeah, you get baptized and they make a big, you know, big deal out of the baptism, but the baptism itself is not that big a deal. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a big deal to go in public to be baptized, but the baptism itself does nothing. And then you have a whole nother side that says you have to be dunked in the water by a certain person. And so to me, I believe both are wrong. I believe that Jesus, what he says, and when he says to be baptized, we should take that as I need to be baptized, mm-hmm. regardless on
when you have the Holy Spirit that indwells you, at salvation, you want to be baptized. Why would you not want to be?
Because it's such a beautiful testimony.
Yeah.
It is something that you can do, and the gospel is expressed mm-hmm. through it. But also, it's something that Jesus, when he says something, that is where we're obedient to what he says.
Right.
Not just because someone says you should get baptized. It's because Jesus says so.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we kind of rushed through those two portions of the different, you know, the prison, spirits in the prison, and then the baptism. But I think we might come back to that later at some other point and go through that a little deeper. But 22, it says, now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God and all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. And it just wraps up who Jesus is. And, you know, how should we look at Jesus? You know, we should never look at Jesus as, we can say he's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's my brother. You know, because it talks about Jesus being our,
yeah.
but we need to really look at it as Jesus is my Savior,
mm-hmm.
and He is God, and He is Lord.
He is King.
He's Lord of my life.
Amen.
And He is seated in the He is seated in the place of honor next to the Father, and His authority is what we should see it as,
mm-hmm.
as 100%. He has 100% of authority over us.
That's right.
And we need to look at that.
Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person will stand before him and give an account. So it's just awesome even to picture in your mind the scene of that in heaven, that all the angels and authorities and powers bow down to Jesus.
Yes.
All of us. We will all bow before him.
Amen. And the authority that he has. And so when you think of that, when you read the word of God and you see something that Jesus says, think about his authority.
Mm-hmm.
Think about who he is. Don't try to talk it away. Don't try to, you know, overthink it and think that's not for you or that. No, when you read Jesus' words, we need to look at it. He has authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's right. And just real quick, I wanted to give a plug out on the blog. If you do not follow us there or you haven't checked out the resources that we have available, please go and check it out at www.saltysaints.blog. Will puts short audio teachings, about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes of little portions of scripture where he does a really good job expounding on what the word says. And then I have started doing coffee and Bible time with Angela, where I just record myself in the mornings, maybe a chapter that I go through in the Word, reading it, and then praying. So y'all go check that out. We're always trying to bring y'all resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. We'll be back soon with the next podcast. Y'all have a good week until then.
Go share Jesus with someone.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.